Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Good day, everyone, and welcome once again to Capital Irish, the Irish-related program that comes to you every Sunday at high noon on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And of course, you can listen to it from in any part of the world, from the North Pole to the South, on wellingtonaccessradio.org.nz. My name is Jim Frail, originally from County Mayo. I am one of a number of Irish presenters from different counties in Ireland who help bring this program to you all. With me in the studio doing the important technical job is Marion Grealis, who is also one of our presenters and does a great job in both roles. Friday was St. Bridget's Day, 1st of February, which was a Thursday, which is now a national holiday in Ireland. The first Monday in every February is dedicated from now on. That was from 2023 to commemorate her, Bridget. For too long in our history, our most famous female saint was overshadowed by our most famous male saint, St. Patrick, whose real name, of course, everybody knows, was Maewen Sukat. Did you know that? Now you do. The Irish Central had a news item last week. It reported that the relics of the great woman, St. Bridget, were returned to her native county, Kildare, as part of celebrations marking the 1500th, that's 1,500 years, anniversary of her death. There were thousands of people there to mark the occasion at a special mass celebrated by the Bishop of Kildare, Denis Nulty. The great saint died way back in 524 AD. She was buried inside the monastic church at the time. Her grave was a popular shrine for pilgrims for hundreds of years. But then came the dark days in Ireland with the arrival of the hated Vikings, who robbed and pillaged churches all over. So her body was moved to an unmarked grave in Downpatrick, County Down, close to the graves of St. Patrick and St. Columba. That was around about 800 AD. This was, of course, to preserve her body from being stolen. The site remained secret until 1185 AD, and the bodies of the three saints were then enshrined that particular year and remained there peacefully for 400 years until they were again moved or destroyed by an appointee of who? King Henry VIII, his name, Lord Leonard Grey. And the remains of Bridget's body were taken to continental Europe, I imagine for safekeeping. Now the relics of St. Bridget will go on permanent display after being returned from the continent after 1,000 years away from her home in Kildare. That what remains of her bones are back. It's a strange story. I just can't imagine much of her bones being still around. But anyway, she built her church in Kildare. Her legacy as a peacemaker and protector of nature endures, thanks to the Brigidine Sisters and the County Kildare County Council. Time for a tune in honour of Bridget. And this is by Caitlin Nick Gowan. She's written this tune specially. It's a slip jig in honour of St. Bridget. Hope you like it.
I'm Caitlin Nick Gowan from Ashburn in County Meath, and we're here at St. Bridget's Well in Kildare Town. There's a well-known tune and a dance called St. Patrick's Day, and it's known all around the world. But in my research here, we realised that there actually isn't a tune or a dance dedicated to St. Bridget's Day. And legend has it that Bridget asked King of Leinster for some land to build her monastery. He refused initially, but when she went back, she asked him, "Will you give me the lands that my cloak will cover?" And he said he would. So each of her four sisters grabbed a corner of the cloak and they walked in opposite directions, north, south, east and west. And the cloak grew and spread and stretched. And she built her monastery here in Kildare, not far from where I am today. So the tune I wrote is a slip jig and it has four parts to represent the St. Bridget's cross and the four directions of her cloak spreading far and wide.
That's a catchy tune, wasn't it? Some other news from Ireland. Sinn Féin and human rights groups in Ireland have accused the Irish government of hypocrisy and double standards after the government refused to back South Africa's case against Israel at the International Court of Justice, while, not so long ago, supporting an earlier claim by Ukraine against Russia. They point to the fact that the Russian invasion of Ukraine resulted in 10,000 civilian deaths over a period of 21 months from a population of 43 million, while Israel's invasion of Gaza has resulted in more than 26,000 civilian deaths from a population of 2.2 million. Of course, Ireland, like most Western countries, are influenced by what the American government wants. And they're more interested in that than true justice. Anyway, the leading barrister at the International Court of Justice, prosecuting Israel for genocide in Gaza, is an Irish woman, originally from County Mayo, near that's the Cross Malina area, if you know that part of the country. Her name is Blenny Groya, which is Irish for Greeley. In her closing address to the court, Bain said that 48 mothers and 117 children were being killed every single day in Gaza. In 2022, this Bain successfully represented the Colston Four, if you know who they were, down in Bristol. These were the people who toppled the statue of the slave owner and threw it into Bristol Harbour during Black Lives Matter protests way back in, well, only 2 years, 2020. The Irish Central had a story last week, and the headline was, Ireland's richest two Irish billionaires have more wealth than the bottom half of the population. It was quoting an anti-poverty organization called Oxfam, which says that the richest 1% holds 34.5% of Irish financial wealth. They are asking the government, the Irish government, to tax extreme wealth. I would imagine that the same or similar could apply here in New Zealand. And so who are those two Irish citizens who own close to Ireland's 50% of the population? Well, number one is a man called Seopúr Mistry, M-I-S-T-R-Y. And he is 60 years old and has a personal wealth of $7 billion American dollars. He owns an international building and engineering company, and he lives in India. But of course, he has Irish citizenship. Number two, wealthiest Irish, is an Irish-American with Irish citizenship. And his name is John Craken, 67 years old. What does he do? He is the founder and chairman of Lone Star Funds. It's an investment company, and he lives in the United States. His personal wealth is only 6.3 billion American dollars. Now, number three, even though he's not in that two wealthiest one, number three happens to be worth 5.5 billion American dollars, but he is Irish born, and he's only 33 years old, and his name is John Collison, born in Drowanier, County Tipperary. That's on the shore of Lough Derg on the Shannon River, in case you didn't know. As I said, he is the youngest and founder and president of a company called Stripe. Self-made billionaire. He and his brother Patrick founded this company in 2010, which is not that long ago. Stripe is a payment platform that makes it easy for small companies to accept payments from anywhere in the world. Well, after that, it's time for a song. And we will have A Bird Without Wings by Celtic Thunder. Hope you like it.
Like a bird without wings that longs to be flying, like a motherless child left lonely and crying, like a song without words, like a world without music, I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be lost without you watching over me. La, 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 la. get so lonely when you're away. I count every moment, I wait every day until you're home again and hug me so tight. That's when I know everything is alright. Like a bird without wings that longs to be flying, like a motherless child left lonely and crying, like a song without words, like a world without music. I wouldn't know what to do, I'd be lost without you watching over me. You're my guardian angel, my light and my guide. Your hand on my shoulder and you by my side. You make everything beautiful, you make me complete. Everything in my world I lay at your feet. Like a church with no steeple, where a bell never rings, in a town without people, where no voice in the choir ever sings. If a boat on the ocean would be lost with no sail, then without your devotion, surely all that I dreamed of would fail. Watching over me, I wouldn't know what to do, I'd be lost without you. Watching over me.
The Irish Central newspaper reports that there were more than 1 million Irish passport applications in 2023. 99.9% of the applications were applied for online. After Ireland, the number one county for applications, number one country, I should say, were United States, 28,075. Number two was Australia, 12,440 applications. Number three, Canada, 6,628. Number four, France, 2,925. Number five, Spain, almost the same, 2,924. Also, it reports that Ireland's Knock Airport in County Mayo had its busiest year on record. A total of 818,000 people travelled through the airport last year, 2023. My wife Mary and myself were two of those statistics. We would both say it was the friendliest, most relaxed airport that we went through. And I can tell you, we went through quite a few. I would highly recommend it. The weather in January in Ireland has had its fair share of storms and rough weather. And I know the weather and the world has had extremes with climate change, etc., and I know it's true. But anyway, the Irish Central had a story a few weeks ago about the night of the big wind. Can any of you guess when that was in Ireland? No? Well, it was the 6th of January, 1839. It's a while ago. And it brought death and destruction to the whole island of Ireland. It is recorded as the worst storm in recorded Irish history. It is estimated that 250 to 300 people lost their lives during that storm. The historic legacy of the storm is so that it is still referred in the press today. Its memory is ingrained in the Irish psyche ever since. Did you know that Christmas was once banned in Ireland and England and Scotland and Boston? This was during the Cromwellian period, and before that time, of course, in Scotland. From 1659 until 1681, it was forbidden to celebrate Christmas in Boston. At that time, the Boston majority population was Puritan, an anti-Catholic and anti-Church of England, for that matter. According to the Puritans, the Bible did not say to celebrate Christmas. To them, Christmas was a pagan celebration. Partying or enjoying yourself was forbidden. It was not until 1870 in America that President Ulysses Grant declared that Christmas was a national holiday in America. Christmas was banned in Ireland, as I said, and Britain for 16 years, from Cromwell's time in 1647 until 1663. Did you know all that? Of course you knew it. Well, maybe you didn't. And if you just showed you, you'll always learn something new by listening to Capital Irish. You will always hear stuff that you may not have known. Anyway, Christmas was actually banned in Scotland, would you believe, for 400 years, from 1640. In fact, Christmas only became a national holiday in Scotland in 1958. Would you believe that? Well, it's apparently true. Fidel Castro, of course, banned Christmas for 30 years in Cuba from 1969 until 1999, for different reasons, of course, nothing to do with religion. Anyway, other news. Cillian Murphy, you know who he is? Well, he's the County Cork actor, and he's been nominated for an Academy Award, which is no surprise, as he won the Best Actor Award for his portrayal of Oppenheimer in the movie of the same name at the Golden Globes in December. Early January, I think. Cillian Murphy is a modest man. On accepting his Golden Globe Award, he gave the credit to Christopher Nolan, the visionary director, he said, for having faith in me for 20 years and 6 movies. When it comes to film stars or film directing, Ireland has always punched above its weight. Other news, some good news for change from the north of Ireland. After 2 years of sulking, the DUP party have finally decided to return to Stormont, that's the Northern Parliament, and accept the Sinn Féin leader, Michelle O'Neill, as First Minister. First time ever that a national, well, since the founding of the Northern State, that an Irish nationalist has been First Minister. It has come, of course, with a political bribe from the British taxpayer of 6.8 billion New Zealand dollars, 3.3 billion pounds, I think it is. Anyway, their members of Parliament have, of course, been accepting their full salary, sitting at home for the past 2 years. It will be interesting to see how it's going to go. Will the DUP break apart and dispatch Geoffrey Donaldson, their leader, like they did with David Trimble a few years back? Well, his party, the DUP, is very, very divided on the issue of returning to Stormont. I think it was 5-7 or whatever in their hierarchy. So, as I said, it could break apart. Watch the space, as they say. Well, anyway, thank you all for listening to my show today. Fare thee well until next time. I will go out with the Coolin, an ancient Irish tune that I love from my childhood days, as played here by Mick O'Brien from the album The Ancient Voice of Ireland. He's playing it, the tune, on the Illan pipes. Hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.